God bless fantasy football. There are many things a man can do with his time. And this is better than those things.
The finals are here. There's 1 week left. We got 2 weeks to catch up on. 1 week left. Two great storylines. One person fighting to join the ranks of very few people who can claim they are back-to-back champions. One person fighting for his first ever championship. We're in for a good one. Two of our best teams, and we're here to talk about it. I'm your host, 2018 champion Andrew Gelba. Joined as always is my co-host, your commissioner, your three-time champion, two-time Sacco, Mr. Andrew Seiler. Seiler, how you doing today? I don't know how it is in Minnesota. It's a pretty rainy day here in Boston, Massachusetts.
It's cloudy, but it shockingly has not snowed the entire month of December. It's on track to be the warmest December in the history of Minnesota.
And there are people who will decline or deny global climate change.
Look, I'm all against global warming, of course, but there are some benefits being in Minnesota and dealing with global warming. But anyway, I'm doing great. It's been a fun year, even though I'm the Sacco, still fun. It can be depressing.
Have you put any more thought to the calendar?
I've given some thoughts. I don't really want to relay them on the podcast because I want really everybody to be surprised when they get the calendar.
But have you made a decision on, is it a 2025 calendar? Is it a 2024 calendar? Like, what's the plan?
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be a 2025 calendar because there's just no way that I could make a good calendar in the next like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not even now it's 3 days, to get you a 2024 calendar. So it definitely will be 2025. I don't know how many I'm going to print yet because I've had various requests from people. Dane was like, oh, you only have to send me and Wyatt one. I was like, no, I will send one to everyone.
Everyone gets one. Punishment. Yeah, everyone gets one. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I've thought a little bit about it, but there's a lot more that I need to do, and it's going to be...
Are there people...
Russell probably put 3 minutes of time into his PowerPoint. I think there's going to have to be a lot more time put into this calendar.
Yeah, so. I mean, well, he's also, that was his third time doing a punishment at that point. Third, right? Isn't he a three-time Sacco?
No,
two-time Sacco.
Two-time. Russell and I are the only three-time champions and the only two-time Saccos.
The issue with the calendar, to your point of number, is I'm assuming that a lot of people in your life have heard about this punishment and now have asked for a calendar.
Yeah, I mean, my brother-in-law has asked for a calendar. Mike and Michelle Gelblad have asked me for a calendar. I don't think my parents have. I don't plan on sending it to them, but then I feel like Mike and Michelle are going to be like, oh, we got Andrew's calendar. And then my parents will be like, what now? So... You know, it'll probably end up being like 20 to 25 calendars at the end of it.
I'd say 25 feels like a conservative, safe number to cover all your bases.
If I have extras, I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but...
You could sign them, sell them.
They're going to be a hot item. One day you could go to the Pawn Wars or Pawn Stars people.
How much do you think it's going to cost to do this calendar?
Oh, cost me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really haven't looked into the pricing, but I'd guess $10 a calendar, or maybe not that much. I'll say $10 a calendar is my guess.
That's a lot.
So it's actually expensive.
And you gotta ship them all.
Oh, I gotta ship them all. We all need to get together soon so I could just bring them. I could pack them in my luggage.
I believe you are the problem of us all getting together, my friend. I think a lot of us live very close together. I would actually argue it's really just you and Steven. Everyone else could, in a heartbeat, not in a heartbeat, but if everyone was like, oh, you know what, we're going to get together for New Year's Eve, everyone come to Long Island.
Yeah, I mean, Steven Michael having a child in the next month is probably the biggest obstacle. I'd say I'm second at this point.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. These flights are expensive. That's a big obstacle for you.
It is a big obstacle.
You're losing money on the calendar. You'd have to fly out. There's no way it would be cheaper to fly. Cheaper to get together. I guess unless you were coming for another event already and you were like, I will use this then to...
I am coming in for Ben Fine's wedding in July.
Okay.
Not for a long time, but maybe I'll bring them there and distribute. I'll have to think about it.
Well, you could probably, I mean, from a shipping perspective, I know this is what people tune in for the podcast for, but right, you can do kind of clusters, right? You can do like one Long Island shipment and ask people to pick it up from whoever you send it to. You could do a Jersey City one to Scott and Corey. That's two right there. And Wells, that's three. That's three people right there. You can do a Boston shipment for my brother and I. That's two. You could probably get a lot of them done in just like three shipments instead of individual.
I'll think about it. I have a lot to think about, but calendar, figuring out that is the hard part. The shipping is the easy part.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to save you some money.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, back to fantasy football, because I guess that's what people want to hear us talk about. Appreciate everyone's best wishes, healthy wishes, feeling better. You know, unfortunately, didn't get to have my, I've thought about it. You know, if I beat Brian last week, I would have been having my flu game this week or this Sunday. Would have been something of historic, you know, I would have lost. But yeah, I figure let's just jump into week 15, round one, talk about what happened there first, can then dive into this week and go from there. So, you know, we had Dane and Nate on bye. Nate, and I have to check back on the rosters, but when I look at his team on the bottom of the scoreboard, it looks like his team only scored 70. His team would have scored 79 points.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that was a full strength team, honestly. I don't know what other changes he would have made. Maybe he would have subbed out Eagles defense. I don't know. But even if he did that, maybe he would have played Singletary over Gus Edwards. I don't know about that as well. But, you know, 79 points. Very, very happy he did not have to play anyone last week. And similarly with Dane, kind of going back to showing how important these matchups are, you know, that what was it, week 14 when he was playing Corals and they were deciding on who was going to get the bye. Dane would have put up, and again, this is not finalized score, he would have put up week 15, 95 plus a kicker, so maybe throw him another 7 points, so 100 and low 100 points. Again, mm-hmm. He might have subbed in a James Cook or a T. Higgins, but I feel like this is probably the roster he would have gone into. Maybe he would have subbed out Travis Etienne knowing that they were playing Baltimore, but Dane would have lost as well. So really big that Dane got the bye. But then going into the two matchups, you know, we had Lee against Corals. Just trying to put my week 15 hat back on. But going into the Sunday games, you had Ty Chandler, who had a great game that was it Thursday. Is that what it was? Thursday?
Saturday.
Saturday football. Putting up 27 points. You had Zamir White putting up 17 points. I mean, I don't want to say we gave Lee a fighting chance, but I believe it was on this podcast we told him to pick up Ty Chandler, possibly almost saving him his week. So going into the Sunday games was really looking towards a Lee victory. Unfortunately for him, he ran into Sam Laporta, who also played Saturday night, who had three touchdowns, 29 points. It's all coming back to me now. Terry McLaurin had a big game. And then just the monster who is Christian McCaffrey with 45 points. The saving grace, the big drama during that game was Jalen Hurts going to play? You had Dane picking up Marcus Mariota to try to, you know, block Corals from having a quarterback. Do you feel that's a fair move?
Absolutely. I think why not? I mean, people have done stuff like that in the past, like when I blocked Wyatt from the backup QB on the cow. That was Wyatt's stupidity, but like, I think it's all fair game. I think Dane would rather play Lee for a good reason, and he was doing what he could to prevent himself from playing Corals and improve his chances of making the finals. I thought it was a great move. I'm sure Corals was really pissed about it, but fortunately for them, it didn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an absolute ass-whooping, 159 to 109. Unfortunately for Lee, DeAndre Hopkins had a tough game. Odell Beckham had a bad game. Lamar Jackson didn't have a great game against Jacksonville. And George Kittle didn't have a great game. So, unfortunately, all those ladder up to a Corals win. And then in the second game, we had the Gelblad Bowl. You had myself against Brian. To be honest, you know, once once it was announced that CJ Stroud and Tyreek Hill weren't going to play, I had very little faith that I was going to win this game, just knowing who I was going to be able to sub in. It was a fun run. You know, I feel as though I was playing this season with house money. I was 2-6, I think, at one point in the season, and or 1-6 or 2-7.
I think either 2-5 or 2-6 or something.
I think I was 2-6. I had no right to be in the playoffs. This team put on a great run, you know, made it a little more exciting for me. Put up 108 points. Brian puts up 124. Unfortunately for me, you know, to me, it's the sub of Jerome Ford. You know, I would have had Chuba in my RB slot. And then I basically was playing Jerome Ford instead of Tyreek Hill, which is just, you know, I'm honestly just looking at the points, I probably could have made up the 15 points from Tyreek Hill playing instead of Jerome Ford or CJ Stroud playing instead of Drew Locke. But, you know, Brian played quarterback roulette, picked up a lot of different quarterbacks. Jake Browning was someone I was considering, didn't get to play him. And then for Brian, you know, Kyren Williams went off. It was honestly, I knew I really lost when Cooper Kupp had that like 70-yard touchdown from Matt Stafford. That was kind of the nail on the coffin.
You know, it was actually, I thought you were going to win at one point because it looked like you were done. And then the Seahawks game started getting crazy where Drew Lock drove all the way down the field. He hit Metcalf a few times, scored a touchdown. And then the Eagles were driving down, and I thought the game was going to go to overtime. And if it went to overtime, you had Locke, you had Metcalf. You know, you had a lot of potential to put up more points. Yeah. So for a second, I thought you were going to come back, but then Jalen Hurts threw a horrible interception when he only needed like 15 yards, but he decided to just throw it downfield and get picked off. But so Brian kind of got saved a little bit there at the end. So I don't think you were as out of it as you say, but huge win for Brian.
Yeah, I don't know. And I also, it's funny, I ended up going to sleep during the Sunday night football game, and I woke up to text of like, oh, it's not over. I'm like, what is doing? And I saw Isaiah Likely had 17.2. Isaiah Likely was a sneaky waiver ad that really had no, I picked him up because I thought he was going to be a bye week filler, but then he was also on bye. For those who remember, so you know it was a fun season. Brian's team did everything it had to do, and he got to move on.
It was a good story for both your teams, though, because you both at some point in the year lost all hope, and then you were playing against each other to make the fantasy football semifinals. So it was a rags to riches story for both of you, I would say.
Yeah, it was good. I don't remember if there was nothing really waiver significant. I don't think in the next week.
Just the Mariota was probably the main thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, but going into week 16, was there a big waiver pickup? I forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. Week 16 is the current week that we're in? Or last?
No, last week. Like before last week, I don't think there were any big waiver pickups.
Let me double check. This week, definitely not. I mean, it was like Dane was able to control waivers. He just picked up a bunch of defenses.
Yeah.
But I will double check.
In the meantime, I'll do the first one. So, we had quarrels against Dane. And to be honest, I was sick. I barely watched any of the games. But the biggest takeaway I have from this matchup, and we texted them about this, is what are you doing throwing in Darren Waller in your flex? You know, when you have either Najee Harris or George Pickens, you know, Najee Harris the last few weeks had not been great, but to be fair to Quarles, I don't know if I actually did get to watch a little bit of the Philly Giants game, and there was a easy touchdown that I think it was Geno underthrew Darren Waller on that would have won them this game. So I guess it wasn't a crazy substitution. I just think I just don't see the upside in a guy like Darren Waller in such a crucial matchup.
Was DeVito starting at that time, or was it Tyrod Taylor that was?
DeVito started the game, yeah. Which even makes the start even tougher. And then Geno came in at halftime.
Or Tyrod, sorry. Yeah, I didn't really get it either, especially because Waller, he's had one game over, I mean, he had one 20-point performance, and other than that, his upside is so limited. So it didn't, and I guess Philly has a bad pass D, but like, when you have Tommy DeVito, who's like, yeah, it was fun to see him shred the Packers because they have the worst secondary by far, but it's like, why do that to yourself? It felt like, well, and at one point, I'm pretty sure you said that they had somebody else in, and then they replaced him with Waller.
I'm pretty sure they did. This could be a lie, but I thought I remember Najee Harris being in their lineup.
So there's a lot of overthinking there, and we'll never know who, if that was the case, we'll never know. We reached out for comment, but it was a very unified front response from Team Quarles. I respect it, but I think deep down, they will always know who made the ultimate decision to put in Waller.
Yeah, so. And then on Dane's side also, by the way, he really got bailed out because I'd have to look at just defensive stats, but when you have guys like Saquon or T. Higgins or Deontay Johnson, which Deontay Johnson wouldn't have been the right answer, or Devon Achane, and to pick Roshan Johnson to be your starting flex, like that to me is a ballsy move, which honestly didn't pay off. I guess it paid off if he was going to start Deontay Johnson, but you know, to have Saquon and T. Higgins on your bench when you can easily throw them into that flex spot.
Saquon was the craziest one. I was truly blown away. Like, Saquon, it doesn't matter what team he's on, he's going to get a million carries, especially because, you know, when your QB's not great, just give it to Saquon. He gets catches, he gets... It just didn't really make sense. But Dane really, really lucks out.
And he also, I mean, if your Quarles, you basically just got kickered, is what happened. I mean, Younghoe Koo had 19 points. It was the second highest scoring player on Dane's team.
I mean, they're probably sick. They lost because Ayuk, as another person that's been Ayuk to this season, this was even worse because Sam Darnold came in, the game was over. There's no point in Ayuk even being out there anymore, and they just got garbage timed out of the fantasy playoffs. So it's a tough pill to swallow. And Wells will have to wait for his first championship another year.
Yeah, I thought that was I felt really confident with my picks of Brian and Quarles. And then the other game we had was Brian against Nate, and Brian squeaks out the win, 120-114. His combination of Rams players continuing to go strong, Stafford with another +20-point performance. Kyren Williams with 20 points. You had Jonathan Taylor sneaking a touchdown with 11 points. Dallas Goedert had a sneaky game. A.J. Brown did all right. But of course, Brian kicking himself with Puka sitting on the bench. 32 points would have really made his life a lot easier going into the last game of the week. And then on Nate's side, you know, Josh Allen had a really nice game. Bijan Robinson had a nice comeback game. Chris Olave had a monster. Was that Saturday game as well?
Thursday night
like he because mm-hmm. he played the Rams, right? And Brian had Puka sit on his bench, and then mm-hmm. Devonta Smith had a nice game too, but unfortunately for him, in a weird way, he also got kickered. You know, Harrison Butker with 1 point, the guy averages, I mean, how many times this year would he have needed 5 more or 6 more points, sorry, so 7 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the 16 weeks, he's gotten at least 7 points. So it's not an unusual feat. In our group chat, I think a lot of us were saying that Butker was almost like a secret agent for Brian's team, wanting him to go to the finals, which, you know, makes sense having Brian had him on his team for 2 years in a row. But it's a good win. Look, 120 points. That's what we say.
I wonder if Nate, because he would have won if he played Gus Edwards over, right? How many? It was 7 points?
He would have.
It would have been close, actually. I should probably calculate this.
It would have been, I mean, it would have been 7 points. Oh, no, it's less than 7 points.
So Gus got 14.5 minus 7.8 is 6.7. And let's add that to his 114.
Yeah, he would have won by 0.3 points.
He would have won by 6.36 points.
Oh my God.
Blaine Gus Edwards. So I don't know how close he was. I'm sure it was something that he thought about. I mean, Gus Edwards has had a good season. Devin Singletary's been good too, though. So it's crazy to think that if he had just made that one roster, you know, decision.
It's a tough choice, though, right? I mean, both of them, you know, Singletary going up against Cleveland, great defense. Gus Edwards going against San Francisco, great defense. Like, that's truly like a game script. And I think I would have made the same decision as Nate.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get why he made the decision. Well, also, what was tough for Nate is that Hockenson tore his ACL and MCL in the middle of the game. So that kind of takes away from his performance, too. But overall, Nate had a good season. I don't even think he probably was expecting to get the bye. I think he had a good team, but I wouldn't say it was like a bye-worthy team. So I thought he was playing with house money, too. And it was a good season, but just came up short also.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he made a lot of. I mean, think about his team where didn't he trade for Josh Allen?
He traded for Josh Allen. He traded for Olave.
Did he have Hockenson?
He drafted Hockenson. He's been Alu Akbar.
I mean, he had Brian Robinson, who was great all year. I mean, he had some good pieces. I mean, he was a. I mean, look, he put up 114 points. He would have beaten Corals as well, and would have been. Oh my God, 0.6 points away from losing to Dane. That would have been terrible. But,
oh yeah.
You know, he had a good team. He had a good team.
Yes,
he did. What can you say? All right. That brings us to our finals, which is going to be Brian against Dane. Like I said, two great storylines. On the one hand, with Brian, you have a team that, you know, I have no problem admitting we've ridiculed in the past for not having ever made it to the finals. Not being a historically strong team, but the storyline of this team is just immaculate, right? I mean, go back to week one, Cooper Kupp, who knows how long he's going to be out for. He also...
Jonathan Taylor,
right? Drafts him, as he's hurt, so already working with, you know, without two of his top three picks. He makes a huge move of picking up Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua for 80% of his fab, which at the time you and I were not sure about. Goes on a huge winning streak, wins, what, six games in a row, I want to say, after that. Then goes on a huge losing streak, losing five games in a row after that. You know, he thinks his team, you know, he's like, I know I'm not going to be the Sacco, but what chance do I have? He turns it around, gets most points for in the season, and makes his way to the finals for his first ever finals, his first ever chance for the title. And you have Dane on the other side, who we said coming out of the draft had arguably the best, if not the second best team coming in. I think I had him ranked as number two. He comes in, comes on the podcast, declares that he is going to be the back-to-back champion, or he has a good chance to, which I think we can all and people read between the lines there. Goes on a huge winning streak. I mean, is in a really tough division. Somehow sneaks out the bye. The bye saves him to making into the second round. Sneaks out a win against Corals, who is, you know, is no easy team to beat. And is now back to be one of, I mean, there's only, how many?
Russell is the only team.
Yeah, that we've only ever had one ever back-to-back champion. So he is joining an elite crew. Maybe there's something about being Sacco so many times that leads you to kind of that having that kind of success, you know, because even pre-punishments, Dane had been last place a few times. So I think we're in for a good matchup.
I think so too. And they actually tried, I know you are very against hedging, but Dane was like, I think it's 1200 and 450 for first and second place. Dane messaged me and Brian just to include me in the conversation. Was like, hey Brian, like, would you be open to doing like 1100 or like a little different than the normal payout? And Brian was like, let me think about it. And then Brian, at the end of the day, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to stick to the 1200. I was like, it's a very Gelblatt thing of you to do to not want to
hedge me.
Your bets.
He texted me when he did that. He said, what did he say? He said, no, where did he? Texted me the other day. He said, I declined, or he said, I said, I declined Dane's offer. Siler said, spoken like a true Gelblad.
Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, totally. I mean, like, what, I mean, what's the, especially if, I don't know what the, it sounds like from what you explained is that they were trying to shave off $100 off of first place and give that to, at the end of the day, is it like,
why not? That's the goal. It's not to split it 50-50. It's just a very big difference in money where I think we all know you could get fucking Brandon Ayuk in garbage time.
Yeah, but what if you're playing fantasy football as a way to earn income, like, honestly, I think this league would be just as competitive at this point if we didn't even have a buy-in. Like, I don't even think money is for some of us,
yes. For others, no.
I don't think who do you think would be less interested if there was no money attached to this?
League Hall.
Let me frame it this way. If the buy-in was $10, that actually might be a thing I propose next year. Like, I don't see why we need to be spending $150 to do this at this point. Like, we all love this so much. It's not really about the money. It's about winning the title and having the championship.
Well, of course it is, but it doesn't hurt to win $1,200 for winning also. And $150, I feel like we're all 30. It's not like a massive amount of money.
It's a lot, though. I mean, that's...
It's not nothing. Of course it's a lot.
How much did you spend this weekend on Talia for her birthday?
Way more than $150.
Right? But wouldn't it have been nice to have an extra $150 in your pocket to...
It would have been nice to have $1,200 to pay for the whole
thing. But you were never going to get that, so... I don't know. I just think my philosophy is that I do this for the pride, and I would almost be more willing to do it if someone was like, hey, you want to just go 50-50 on the money instead?
Like, no, because like, then that just, it's like...
Or like 60-40. If they're like, hey, you want to do it 60-40, I'd be like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But like, to go an extra $100 is like so minuscule in the grand scheme of things, especially for Brian, who won the $100 for getting most points for it anyway. So he's already gotten the extra padding. Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm Brian, you don't do that. I think you got to go in to the finals feeling confident, feeling strong. And look, I've been to the finals, I think it's 5 times I've been to the finals. I've only won once. So, like, it's not always the right decision. And obviously, I'd have more money if I had done those types of deals. But I think I don't lose sleep over that money because it was it was never an option in my mind.
You don't, but I wonder if Noah does. I remember when he played me, he said no, and then Jamar Chase had like 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he's like, I made the wrong decision. So,
but for an extra $100, it's like, what's the difference?
I don't know. I'm with Dane on this one personally. Why not just make it less and you still get your grand and you know, if you win, and if you don't, then you get an extra couple hundred bucks.
Not couple hundred, 100.
Well, he left it open. I mean, there could have been some haggling in there. It didn't have to be 100. It could have been 2. It could have been 3.
I just think it's, to me, I'm going to even propose the next year of lowering the entry fee.
I am all for $150 entry fee. I will probably vote against your proposal, but...
If it was $50, what, it would be, what, 50 times 12 would be $600? It would be $600
in total.
So you probably win like $300 if you come in first place. 50 if you get your money back.
You'd win two-thirds of the overall prize money. So
$400.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that? $450 for money back. $400
compared to $1,200. It just hits. I feel like that $1,200 when it hits your bank account.
I think you're going to be surprised with the number of people who are on my side of wanting to lowering the entry fee.
Okay, I hope not. I mean, I'm open. I mean, I'm at the whim of the league. It's a 12-person, 13-person league. So
I feel like I'm honestly going to forget to even propose this as a rule.
I hope so.
Where's the document?
I'll send it out to everybody.
Okay. So anyway, that's the situation we're in. Let's go into some waiver discussion before we talk about our predictions and our last segment of, oh God, my throat is going to kill me in this. Waiver wasteland. Siler's waiver wasteland. One more time, because we missed it last week. Waiver wasteland. Solace Waver Wasteland.
We're all wasted. Wasted.
There you go. Double wasted.
So I looked up last week, actually, while we were going over that. And the main addition, or the big spender, was Dane, who spent $13 on Tyler Boyd just because Ja'Marr Chase was hurt. But it didn't really have an impact. He also did pick up Younghae Koo, who did help him kicker Quarles, right? Didn't he have like 19 points or something?
Oh, yeah. That's a huge.
So that's big. That's a big waiver wire addition. Also, Roschon Johnson, though. So that could have been
death. They balanced out.
And then Nate picked up Bears D, who I don't even think he played. I'm not sure. And Brian had Hunter Henry, who didn't even play, I don't think. So nothing crazy. And then this week was all defenses. Dane was trying to play defense against Brian. So Dane picked up the Jaguars D and the Raiders D. And then he told us that ESPN wouldn't let him pick up more defenses. He tried to waiver wire more defenses.
He told who? You and Brian?
Yeah, but he hit the limit of defenses you can actively own on an ESPN roster. So that's why he couldn't pick up any more. And then Brian picked up...
You can only own three defenses?
I guess so. Well, does he own three or four? I don't even know how many he has right now.
Right now he has three.
So yes, three must be the max. And that is your waiver wasteland.
We're all wasted. Wasted.
Wasted.
All right. So we got our championship matchup. AJ Gelblatt against he called the shit yuck. Uke. He called the shit Uke.
Uke.
We got 122 Brian to 125 Dane. From a matchup perspective, Brian has some decent matchups. He's got the full arsenal of the Los Angeles Rams against New York Giants. And right now he's starting Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and Matthew Stafford in that matchup. He's got Dallas Goedert, who's a very late addition to this team against Arizona, as well as A.J. Brown against Arizona. And he's got Mostert, who is questionable, does have an injury designation going into the game against Baltimore, which is a tough matchup. If I'm Brian, I'm sitting with both...
Jonathan Taylor?
I was going to say, I have both Jonathan Taylor and Kenneth Walker against pretty, you know, weak run defenses, according to ESPN. I just know that Baltimore team's been playing so well, and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder as they're trying to secure the bye. I'd almost rather go Jonathan Taylor on a team that's really fighting for a playoff spot against the Raiders.
I feel like you gotta go Jonathan Taylor, but we'll see what Brian opts to do. I mean, he's the one in the finals, not us. So, yeah,
home. He gets Jonathan Taylor at home. And then on the flip side...
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, and the Colts are somehow favored at home over the team that just beat the Chiefs. And like, I just feel like it's a good Colts game to have Jonathan Taylor. So I that's all I was going to say.
Yeah. And then on Dane's team, some solid matchups. He's got Goff against Dallas. That's a tough one, depending on how that defense decides to play that day. Dallas is home, though. They played very well at home. He's got Etienne and Ingram against Carolina. He's got James Cook against New England. CeeDee Lamb against Detroit, which is a great matchup. His receiver matchups are fantastic. He's got Ayuk against Washington and CeeDee Lamb against Detroit. His defense, obviously, still up in the air. He can do either Texans against Tennessee. He can do Jaguars against Carolina. Actually, going back to defense, we didn't even talk about that. So Brian has Pittsburgh Steelers playing Seattle. Do you keep that? It's in Seattle.
Or Rams. I feel like he's got to go with all the Rams. I feel like you got to go Rams D and have like your entire
the Rams D has been terrible this year. Though. I mean, they're the 30th ranked defense this year.
Yeah, but I feel better. I feel like Tyrod, it's not like Tyrod's that good. He's not horrible, but I'd rather go against Tyrod than I would against, I think Geno's healthy, but I'd rather go against Tyrod from a defense perspective.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I that's a toss-up for me. I don't know. I'd have to look a little bit more into it. But yeah, you got Dane with some decent matchups as well. He subs out Younghoe Koo for Chase McLaughlin.
I think that's right.
And he's got Saquon now, but against the Rams, who do have a pretty good run defense. Opting to bench T. Higgins again, Deontay Johnson, Devon Achane, though Devon Achane might be a sneaky start if Mostert does not play.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, you're right, but it's still hard just because Baltimore's defense, but you're right. I mean, but I don't know that I could start him over Etienne, Cook, or Barkley based on how they're all doing right now, and Achane hasn't shown that he could even stay healthy for like one game, you know, and play a full complement of snaps. So I don't think I could even play him even if Mostert doesn't play, but that's just my thoughts.
Crazy thing too with Dane's lineup right now, I have to look at Brian's. He has Goff and CeeDee Lamb playing Saturday night, and then everyone else on his team plays at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Oh my God, what about Brian?
And Brian has everyone on his team playing at 1 p.m. Sunday except for the Steelers defense right now. So if he was to sub out the Rams defense, the game would be decided at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
He's got to do it. There's no way he wants to wait for the defense at 4 o'clock.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy. Wow. Okay. With all that said, all the facts on the table.
Who do you got? You go first.
I've said it from the beginning. I told my brother this as much. I don't think he would reciprocate it if the rules were reversed. There is no other team I would like to see win this league outside of my own than my brother's. I think he's put in the work. It's year 13. He's gone through the... I think he's had a tougher journey here than Dana's had. Even though he's the highest point scorer in the league, I think the journey he had to go on, the decisions he had to make, Dane's team has not really changed since the start of the season. I mean, this is basically his starting lineup from week one. You know, if I look at who he started outside of quarterback, and I look at Dane's team, and I go all the way back to week one. He was starting Saquon, Etienne, CeeDee Lamb, Evan Ingram, Brandon Ayuk, with James Cook on the bench. You know, we talk about teams getting lucky without injuries. I think Dane, you know, had a great team, had really good depth, so was able to work through any injuries or anything that could have happened. But this is basically Dane's day one roster.
QB was the main thing, because when Kirk went down, he kind of limited him a little bit. But
right.
Other than that, he's been injury free.
He's been, yeah. You got Brian, on the other hand, who's gone through hell. I can't believe Dane had Dak in week six.
I had Dak too. I dropped Dak. Dane picked up Dak, and then Dane dropped Dak. So, good times.
So, yeah, I just feel that Brian's team has gone through more to be here and deserves the win more and will fight harder for the win.
Okay. So you're going Brian.
So I'm going Dane. No.
Okay, well, just before I give my pick, you and I are both 48 and 40 on the season.
Wow.
So we're both 54.55% win rate. ESPN is actually 51 and 37, so they're a little bit better than us. And then the guests are 28 and 26 at a 51.85. So we're all over 50%, so that's good. And I'm going to go Brian also. I think it's like a year of destiny. It's like he's overcome all odds. His whole fantasy football career has all been leading up to this game. And I think it's just destiny for him. And I think he's going to pull out the win.
I think so too. I don't think he's got it in the bag. But I think the craziest thing is this Sunday 1 o'clock is like, this is going to be must watch television. Unfortunately, I will not be able to watch, but I'm excited to hear how it goes.
Me too. I don't think I'm going to be watching either. So it's must watch television for everybody that's not us.
Yeah. Christmas Eve football at its finest.
Yes.
All right.
New Year's Eve.
I think it's going to be really close, but I think Brian, I do think Brian wins this one. So yeah, that's our show. You know what? It kind of worked out a little bit better to maybe skip a week and talk about everything at once. Make it a little bit of a longer episode. Well, maybe, I feel like we're usually hit or miss. Maybe we'll do a quick 5-10 minute episode to just end out the season. Maybe we'll talk through changes we want to see, other fun segments, who knows,
like best and worst that we talked about that we guessed at the beginning of the year.
We can go through our power rankings again and kind of see where we ended up. We'll have a fun show. I think I got Bianca to my left right here, who's about to tell me she's going to the gym for a minute and she has to get something, but that's okay because there's no camera. There's a camera on, but we don't record the camera, so it's not like anyone's gonna see you outside of Siler right now. So I think it'll be a great end to the season.
Looking forward to it. It's been a great year, guys. Bye, Bianca. It's been a great year. Full of heartbreak and joy and excitement and everything in between. So good luck to Dane. Good luck to Brian. And may the best team win.
Yes, good luck to everyone. Hope everyone has a very happy new year. And we'll see you in 2024 with a new champion. Well, woo-hoo. New being a crowned champion. I should say that. We'll have a crowned champion for the 2023 season. All right. Have a good one, everyone.
Oh, thank you.